Hey, welcome to School Spirit on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew, and each week, Father Harry Dean and I are going to be talking to our priests and principals, the staff, the students, and the parents that make all of our Central Texas Catholic schools fantastic. We'll discover the unique aspects of our Catholic schools and what makes them important to the lifeblood of our faith and our families and our futures. Father Harry, welcome to our inaugural show.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited about our inaugural show and all the subsequent ones as well.
So to kick off today's show, we have the one and only Father Will Rooney and Father Tim Knoll. And we're going to talk a little bit more about our Catholic schools. And over the course of the next few weeks, we'll talk more in depth about all kinds of different aspects, about all the schools here in our listening area. And so we hope that you will tune in every Friday at noon and check us out.
Father Tim and Father Will, I have the pleasure of introducing formally here. These are brother priests of mine with whom I share a great delight in serving in the same deanery of the Diocese of Austin together, and just very enthusiastic to have you guys here because I know you a little bit, maybe not super, super well, but I do know you as very beloved and valued priests in the Diocese of Austin. You both have a lot of experience, each in your own ways, a little bit different times of service, certainly. But at the same time, one thing I can definitely tell all of you who are listening is that these are smart men. They have good ideas and good insights. They're looking
looking around
like, who's he talking about?
This is radio, not TV.
Yes, yes. And I mean that sincerely. As I've gotten to know you and listen to our dialogue at deanery meetings and in other venues for the things, particularly of Catholic schools. These guys have schools in their parishes, and they're on board, and they're enthusiastic, and they're spirited about wanting to see to the welfare of our Catholic schools. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father Harry.
Yeah. And that, and the fact that they both do have schools in their parish footprints, campuses, whatever the correct term is really the reason behind why we wanted the two of you here in these first couple of shows, because we really want to dig into and hone in on the importance of the Catholic school. So I'll go ahead.
Which, by the way, I failed to recognize which parishes these gentlemen are
in. Yeah.
So for Father Tim, it's St. Joseph's in Killeen, and for Father Will, it's St. Mary's in Temple.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, and good catch. And it's important, as I have discovered, to specify it's St. Joseph's in Killeen and St. Mary's in Temple.
Yeah, because basically half the parishes in the diocese are named either St. Mary's or St. Joseph's.
That's exactly right. 34 parishes in our listening area, and I think 8 of them are St. Mary's and the other, and 7 of them are St. Joseph's. Don't quote me on that.
I kid.
Anyway, so I'm going to ask both of you kind of the same question, and you can you guys can Rochambeau decide who wants to go first here, but help all of our listeners really understand the importance of Catholic schools. I mean, really, what makes them any different than public school number 14 down the street?
I did not go to Catholic school. I grew up Protestant, and as a Catholic, I became Catholic in my early 30s. So as a priest, I've been at parishes with schools. St. Helens for 2 years, rector of St. Mary Cathedral for 3, now here at St. Joseph. And I think one of the key benefits is it's an extension of both the parish community coming out of liturgy, but also I'm finding it here at St. Joseph in Killeen that invariably when I do funerals for people that maybe people I haven't had a chance to meet, because I'm here for 1 year, maybe they've passed away, they're in their 80s or 90s, invariably there's a school connection. And I find when people come to visit from out of town, oftentimes, I remember last fall, a gentleman stopped by in the middle of the day, and he said, I was a teacher here in the early 70s, and I came back to Killeen just to see the school. And I did a funeral for a gentleman who helped get the first school bus in the early 70s, and had 3 generations of children go through there. So one of the things that I don't think we talk about a lot, I think for our parish schools, which means they belong to the parish, it's going to be like Father Will is St. Mary's in Temple and St. Joseph in Killeen, that there's a, it's kind of the glue that you see sometimes, but there's a deep sense of identity and continuity in the life of the parish. Our parish school has been with the parish of St. Joseph since the founding of the parish, pretty much right from the beginning. So people take great pride in being able to say, I went to St. Joseph, or I just had a funeral the other day. And the family moved into Killeen in 1958, and the daughter of the woman who had passed away said, I was in middle school. And this teacher helped to set right my understanding of these subjects, and I remember that to this day.
Wow.
That's awesome. Over 60 years later. Wow. So this is just a beautiful way of understanding how, you know, before and after the Second Vatican Council and how things have shifted, the parish school has a way to help define the parish in a way that it becomes very generational, and that families, it still calls families back, whether or not they've moved more deeply into their faith or some have found themselves in the peripheries. That school experience is foundational to their identity as a family and as a family from that community.
Yeah,
that's awesome, Father Tim. That idea of community, I think, is something that is so evident in a Catholic school, with particularly a parochial school, so it's where it's part of the parish community. I think that for me, the importance of the Catholic school is that it is an important opportunity that we have for evangelization of families, not just the children themselves that are in schools, but of this entire family, because you think about how much time a child spends in school and how much of life is like kind of surrounding education and raising up a child. And we want to support families in doing that, right? So there's a lot of options for schools, of course, but you think about like, what's the most important thing? Well, at least in the faith for me, it's that every child knows, loves, and serves Jesus Christ and is capable of sharing that faith with others. And so I think that we have an opportunity as a church community to say, how do we help parents in their role as the primary educators of their children? And one way we can do that is by having excellent Catholic schools. So
the rules of math and grammar, of which I still know few, don't change from the particular, clean independent school district or a temple independent school district, as the case may be. But the education that occurs at a Catholic school is decidedly different. Help understand that.
It should be decidedly
different. Yeah, it absolutely should be. I think that the reality is that no matter what school you go to, there's a philosophy of education which is being imparted, and there's that philosophy of education is based upon, we might say, an anthropology. And what that means is like, it's based on what we believe about the human person.
Okay.
So if I want to let me use an analogy. If I want to get somewhere, I have to know where I want to get, right? If I want to go to Waco, I have to know that Waco is north of Temple. right. And the means by which I get there might differ. But I think that one of the things that we can do in a Catholic school is we can say, like, this is what the church, what the faith professes about who human beings are, and that they're made for union with the Father, and that that every human person is called to union with the Trinity, and that's the biggest thing that we can say. And from there, that puts us on the right direction, at least. Now, the means might differ, and there's all sorts of different things in different schools. And even in Catholic schools, there's different means that we could use to get there. But they have to be in accord with the end that we're seeking. And I think that one of the challenges in a pluralistic culture, a culture that has many different groups of people in it, is at like a public school, it's very difficult for them to say, like, this is what we want out of our kids, and for there to be a broad agreement upon that.
So Father Will, I mean, what would you say is the brand promise, right? Of the parochial cat? What's the brand promise? What are we selling here? What is the goal? Because we talk about the end. Is it really here to Waco? Or do we have some variants versus the public school versus how the Catholic school and in some cases our classical school see this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that at least in, at St. Mary's, our brand promise is we're committed to the spiritual development and the academic excellence of our kids towards a life of prayer, service, and love. And that's obviously in the context of like a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Like there's no spiritual development outside of that in the Catholic understanding. And so,
and one of the things I've seen in this regard, if I was going to say, well, what's the difference? It has a soul, a soul literally as a school. And where I get that from is in the two places where I've served that had Catholic schools for extended periods of time in their history, and they went down. And they no longer had them. And by the time I got there in that era, the people that had been part, you talked to earlier, Father Tim, about generational in these parochial schools, and they would not let it die in a good way. They had reunions at the parish festival every year. There was a booth of those people that had been there.
Nice.
So one of the differences I saw was that it's like another member of the parish. It lives and has, there's a personal relationship with the parish community and that school community, because there's overlap obviously there.
Absolutely.
But then when it's gone, there's a mourning, there's a grieving. We, part of our identity as a parish now has moved along, kind of like a family has to do when a family member dies. And that's just something very beautiful to me about what that difference is for particularly a parochial school in the life of a parish.
I want to go back, Tom, to your question about, you have one here, why do we need Catholic schools? I think my understanding, not having been Catholic and not having been alive before Vatican II, is that most parishes had schools. That how we formed our children in the faith was both at home and in the school. And I remember, you know, places I can visit up north now as a Catholic and see, oh my goodness, this town had three, this little town, we go visit Galena, Illinois, this little city has three parishes. Perhaps three different ethnic groups, but it means that people understood as Catholics that we have a parish we go to on Sundays. We have our rituals that we do at home, and in our community, we also come together to support our school because this is how we hand on the faith and live it and experience it. And that handoff, I think, was probably more tangible and more obvious maybe 50 or 60 or 70 years ago as a way of forming and evangelizing. You know, since Vatican II, we've had to put a lot more effort into our faith formation, our CCE, our CCD. How do we help prepare our young for the sacraments? And I think a lot of that effort has been because of the shift away from the parish school, whether it's finances or interest or whatever's happened demographically. But I think that it's, at least in the American experience, it's been that this is a key way that as we come together and form, you know, young, now aging cities, that when we formed our parish, we were going to educate our family in the faith through the parish school. And so I think that's why it still resonates and why it's still very important. It is the place we should really look at for the extension of the domestic church within the parish to evangelize and form if we're doing it well.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's so important that, that the last thing you said there, like it's an extension of that domestic church. It doesn't completely replace the family or something like that. And really, that's if we're doing it well, it's a community of families saying we're going to be together and we're going to educate our kids. And those families aren't just the families with kids. And that's so I see it as like part of the mission of my parish is that this is a ministry that we do in this parish. Just like we have a youth ministry, just like we have a ministry like an altar society, just like we have a, I don't know, whatever, different things. It always escapes me when I'm trying to list examples like you're like, okay. I can't come up with an example. But yeah. So
who's going to write an angry letter? You forgot.
Exactly. The men of Joseph. The whoever.
But that you mentioned, Father Tim, Father William mentioned the evangelization of the families. And I think that you have by your placements, your particular placements of in your neighborhoods, in your cities, provides a little bit of an evangelization tool to the community. Writ large, whether or not they're maybe they even don't, they just may drive past the school someday, but that still provides them a little bit of a...
Our float won an award in the Christmas parade in Killeen last year.
Congratulations.
There you go.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it? What did it, if you had to describe it, what was the
float? It was nice.
I was just curious if it had a particular image that caught people's imagination or something of that nature.
I think it was the spirit of it.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. Well, on that matter of need, too, and in this regard with evangelizing the community through floats or whatever it might be, in the history of public schooling in the United States, it had a particularly religious influence to it. Mm-hmm. It was a Protestant religious influence, but it was teaching morality. Mm-hmm. It was teaching what was considered to be citizenship. Mm-hmm. And we evangelize by being Catholic citizens, by taking those things of sacraments and the teachings of the church and having them be part and parcel of that anthropology of that human being going out of the school. And secondarily as well, and I love this whenever I go and substitute at your parishes, you get away with, on a Sunday, having the option to preach something particularly catechetical because the parish is disposed to being catechized. Mm. They don't see it as a boring teaching homily. They're about learning. Mm. I think it just rubs off on everybody that's there, and so their kind of juices are flowing for learning all the time in a way that's not necessarily the case in other places. Mm. And that's a need that the church can have.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So kind of going back to Father Will, your comment about parents, and I know that we say this, parents as a primary educators of our children. We all say this. The church teaches it. How does that mesh then with the role of the schools? And I'm speaking for my generation a little bit where there was a whole lot of, especially in a secular world, I'm a product of the Texas public education system.
So am I. Me too.
And so there was a whole lot of, especially again, in my generation, where the schools were raising us. Mm. You know, we were sent to school before 6 a.m. We had breakfast there. We hung out there. We went to school. We had lunch there. We went to school in the afternoon. Some of us stayed for after school type programs. Mm-hmm. And it was, we went home for supper and homework, mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of us that were raised literally by the school system. And so how does that mesh then with this, our identity as Catholic schools, where we expect, and dare I say demand, that the parents retain that role as primary educators?
That's an interesting question. Yeah. So I think, for one thing, we expect that family is involved, right? That family is, you think about the primary thing that the church says that we have to do is we have to go to Mass on Sunday. And I'm not making the kid get out of bed and go to Mass on Sunday. That's still that's the role of the parents. And so in everything, in a Catholic school, parents are, and families are welcomed to be a part of the education.
Sure.
Well, not only just welcomed, but expected to be part of the education of their kids. It's not a just drop your kid off and we'll take care of everything mm-hmm. from here kind of situation. I think that, when the church talks about, on the other hand, when the church talks about the parents being the primary educators, that doesn't mean that a parent can't say well, I'm not an expert at math. I'm going to ask this person to teach my kid math, right? And I think that the thing that I really value is saying to parents, look, you're the expert on your kid, and you know the way that your kid is going to learn best. You also know you've been given, I believe this fully, that God gives to parents specific graces for each of their kids, right? You're the parents of this kid for a reason. And, for some children, that might mean, the best way for us to disciple our kid is for them to homeschool, right? Mm-hmm. Or that's for many kids, it's for the Catholic school. Mm-hmm. For others, there might be other situations that we have to say, go for it, So I think that we have to say what will be helpful to parents, what will be helpful to the family, what in this in this evangelical task that's set before them, right. in this catechetical task that's set before them.
Father, well, we may be familiar with the book, The Benedict Option.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're talking about a worldview, and the importance of the domestic church is that the worldview should come from the parents. And that's a very Catholic thing. It was a very fundamental evangelical thing that I grew up with. My parents understood this extremely well. Nobody else is responsible for giving our family the worldview except through the lens, the filter of the parents' faith,
yeah.
and the ability to guard that and protect it and form it at home. And I think the Catholic school, and I like this idea, Father Will, of, you know, provide, not one size does not fit all. Not everybody is going to flourish in a Catholic school. Maybe homeschool, maybe public school, but it's a place where we can, I like to use the word inspire. We need to be yeah. inspirational in our yeah. efforts. I want to see us continue to grow, to be inspirational so that others can see, can stream alongside the sacramental worldview. We have the ability in our schools to really maximize our experience of the sacramental worldview, that we are created and formed in God's image, that in the sacraments we enter into the divine life, and that this is how we see the world. We're always going to hold up the world kind of on the one hand, and the teachings of the church, the Ten Commandments, natural law, faith, sacraments in the other, and that hand that has the sacramental worldview, Jesus and the family, can then inform and interact with the world over here. So, yeah, we want to give parents great options, but I think we have this tremendous opportunity to really not just preserve the sacramental worldview, but really find how the Holy Spirit breathes into it in every generation. This is what it looks like today. And we have freedom to do that in our schools. We have freedom to talk about Jesus and the saints and hard teachings of the church and teachings that impinge upon, as kids grow older, the moral life and how they decide what they want to do with their life. And we have fewer restrictions there.
Speaking of which, with the movement of the Holy Spirit, I'm just ask you guys, is this something that gets talked about in Catholic school worlds where I come into a place as the pastor of the parish, there's already a school up and running, I learn what it is, I learn the dynamics of the parents that are there, but while I'm here, you know, say I'm here for in my fifth year, my sixth year, maybe I even get that second round, and now I'm into my 10th or my 11th, and I'm noticing that the parents are changing. The ones that used to be here, and I could kind of figure out who they were and what the Spirit of God was working through them relative to their students. But now they're coming from different places of the country. Like, we've got a lot of people moving in various areas of our diocese. Do you get together and shift gears relative to how, like what you have to do when you go to a rural parish versus a city parish when you're going to prepare a homily? Does an entire school setting, in other words, I'm not going to use an ag example in a place where everybody works at Dell, likely. I mean, you could, just to get their attention. But my point is, if the demographics change in your parish, thus the spirit changes, do you have to sometimes shift the character of your school, even selection of teachers, even the way that you evangelize and have that spiritedness? Or does it pretty much, you say, this is our school, come in and enter into us, if you can connect, and if you can't, then maybe there's another place for you.
That's a good question, Father Harry. I think that we have to say this is, like, there's some non-negotiables, right? Obviously, you know, if someone says, hey, we want to go to your Catholic school, but we don't want our kid to encounter Jesus there, I'm going to be like, this is not the place.
Yeah, right. And I'm not really talking
about that. No, I know you're not, but I'm just, like, saying that there's certain non-negotiables, but I think that you also have to look at the area you're in and say, okay, well, there seems to be an opening for this as the means by which we pass on the gospel and or the what are we teaching as far as, you know, if you were in a rural area, maybe you would have an FFA chapter if it was a high school or something like that. I haven't really given that much. A ton of thought, quite honestly.
Well, it's probably not something that's there.
So we're in a region, the Strip, right, from Temple Belton all the way over to Compass Cove,
right?
500,000 people.
Right.
And I realize in looking for teachers, we've got a lot of opportunity. Killeen Independent School District has over 40,000 students. Mm-hmm. So, and we have teach in colleges in the area. We have mm-hmm. educational programs. So I think already it's great to draw upon the community. Mm-hmm. And that the answer to your question is I think it naturally happens in a place like Killeen.
Yeah.
Because we're getting people who've grown up in Cove, Killeen, Temple. They've either stayed and gotten their educational degrees or come back, and there's a lot of talent. It's really amazing.
You know, as you said that, one thing that I will say that is a opening or an area of opportunity for Catholic schools is really helping to invite the families or like immigrant families who have children who come to Catholic church on Sunday to come to our schools, right? So many of these families don't believe that they have the financial means to go, and we want them in our schools in some ways. Mm-hmm. So I think that is one area that we're working on at St. Mary's in particular. Is just can we get to the point where all of our admission stuff is in both languages, both English and Spanish, things like that. So,
right, and having, for me, it's very important that we have bilingual administration.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think that's one of those challenges that will never ever go away.
No.
Yeah. The changing dynamics of the community and the eternal question of the school and the parish matching that changing dynamic while retaining that Catholic identity.
Yeah.
We've got about a minute left here for this week, and then we're going to, a little teaser for next week, we're going to dive into a document that the Vatican published several years ago that some people call it long and some people don't think it's quite that long. That's a conversation for later. But it really kind of dove into these aspects of Catholic education and Catholic schools. And we'll, like I said, we'll dive into that in a little bit more here in our next week. Before we sign off, Father Harry, any parting thoughts in our last 30 seconds or so?
Well, just appreciation to the both of you for being leadership in the life of these parishes, but particularly Catholic schools. But to every one of you out there who participate in Catholic schools, who pray for Catholic schools, who understand that Catholic schools have a place and do provide a beautiful gift of the Spirit of God for our mission of proclaiming good news and salvation in Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. So just mm-hmm. gratefulness for all of the above.
Yeah.
Thanks, Father.
Thanks a lot, folks. And be sure and tune in next week where we will dive into these aspects of Catholic education right here on School Spirit, on your Central Texas home for Catholic Radio. And remember to put on the armor of God.